This episode of the Potterverse is brought to you by MinuteWithMary.com. For those of you who don't know, in addition to podcasting and geeking out and hanging out with my husband and my kids, I love to help people feel more confident and creative when it comes to their beauty and skincare. Personally, I'm a huge fan of mascara. I've always been a huge fan of mascara, but especially now since we're walking around with a mask on all the time in the state of Rhode Island, I like to make sure my lashes look amazing. Wouldn't you say, Blake?
Absolutely. Your lashes always do look amazing.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. My favorite mascara is my 4D mascara. It's got these little microfibers built in. It's a one-step tube. It'll make your lashes look like you have fake lashes on, like those glue-on strips that always get messy and crazy. Yeah, no more of that. So this one little magical tube is like my elder wand. And because I love it so much, I want to make sure that you, our listeners, get a great discount to try that out yourself. You can go to MinuteWithMary.com/discount. From Providence, Rhode Island, welcome to the Potterverse. It's a podcast dedicated to the book and film universe of Harry Potter. So grab your favorite wands and time turners. Let's step into the night and pursue that flighty temptress adventure. If I don't sit there awkwardly enough during room tone when we collect in the beginning, Blake likes to have me sit during a long intro.
You know, fine. Like, maybe I will cut the intro.
I think it would be a good idea.
Maybe I'll cut it by like a few seconds.
Thank
How's that
you.
Sound?
I would greatly appreciate
fine,
that.
Fine. Fair enough.
Hi, everybody. How's it going? My name is Mary Larson.
My name is Blake.
Yes, it
and
is.
I'm a little insecure now. You don't think my intro is good. You think my intro is too long.
No, I think it's really great. I think it's very... inspiring and enthralling, but seeing as how we're not only recording this as a podcast episode, but we're actually doing this live on video on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube, I just kind of sit here awkwardly. At least you get to look busy and productive with the mouse and the keyboard and like fancy and stuff.
I got things going on.
Yeah, not me.
I got things going on.
I'm just a girl in a world. That's it.
Well, welcome
That's all
everybody.
That you let me be.
Welcome, welcome.
Hi, everybody.
So this is our first attempt at the chapter read-along for Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone, or otherwise, as my daughter calls it, a.k.a. The Philosopher's Stone. I'm very excited about it. This is something that I really like this chapter.
Yeah.
And the more that I've started to read the book, I really appreciated the book a lot more. So I'm very excited by this. I think we're gonna have a good time. We're gonna have a good time analyzing this chapter. And this is how Harry Potter the universe was introduced to the world. I mean, think of that. This chapter introduced the world to Harry Potter and everything along with it. So I think that's just the coolest thing ever. Mary, what do you think about that?
Oh, you know, it's great because we actually start the world of Harry Potter. We start this first book not through Harry Potter's eyes. And, you know, so much of the series is done through Harry's perspective, where we're following him around on his adventures. But really, we kind of kick things off in a frame of view that we, as non-magical folk, otherwise known as muggles, would feel comfortable with. You know what I mean? We understand everything. So we're able to feel secure in this environment, and yet things go a little differently than the normal Tuesday happens for the Dursley family.
Well, remember, guys, go to maryandblake.com. Check out all the great podcasts that we got there. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. You know, just check us out, Mary and Blake. And thank you for all the reviews. Thank you for being a part of our community and enjoying the show. If you are watching us on YouTube Live, thank you. If you're watching us on Facebook Live or whatever, thank you very much. Instagram, Twitter, all of it. Thank you for joining us. Make sure you do put up the reviews out there and subscribe to all the Mary and Blake channels. Well, if you're listening to this on the podcast app, thank you for listening to us there. Check out all the show notes there. We'll have all the links for all the things that are appropriate for catching up on all things Mary and Blake.
I completely forgot to read. I was going to read like a quote.
Oh, well, you know what? We're going to start the show and then you can read. Okay. That's how we'll get into it. You ready to get into the show?
Yes.
Let's do it.
A letter? Repeated Professor McGonagall faintly, sitting back down in the wall. Really, Dumbledore? You think you can explain all of this in a letter? These people will never understand him. He'll be famous. A legend. I wouldn't be surprised if today was known as Harry Potter Day in the future. There will be books written about Harry. Every child in our world will know his name.
Such a beautiful entry. Such a beautiful entry. Good choice, Mary.
Well, thank you.
I kind of like this. I think every chapter we should pick a little passage that you should read to intro the episode. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I'm down.
See, we're fumbling along with
this. It's a work in progress.
We're having fun with it, ladies and gents. I decided that I'm also going to add, as we were just doing this, I decided we're going to add the "we solemnly swear we're up to no good" soundbite to the intro.
Okay.
So that way when we close it, mischief managed.
Okay.
That's how it works.
All right.
I just thought of it.
So short recap for people who may not be reading along. Once again, we are going to be reading through all of the books. Yes. All seven of the magical
Harry Potter books
to go through. We're doing the podcast episode chapter by chapter. We're aiming to have these podcast episodes approximately 20 minutes long. We don't
20
want
to 25, depending.
We don't want it to take too awfully much long of your time. And we're hoping to get at least two out per week so that way you can read along, whether you're working, juggling a family, reading other books. It is a fun series that you can either read. They not only have, you know, the regular books, but if Blake wants to pick up and show our friends who are watching us live, they've got the beautiful illustrated versions that you can check out, and also the audiobooks that you can listen to. So this, of course, is all about Chapter 1, The Boy Who Lived. So Blake, if you could quickly recap what happens in this chapter, if people haven't necessarily...
Recapping.
Yeah, I'm recapping.
Thanks for shoving that on me. All right, so basically what happens in this chapter is Dumbledore and Professor McGonagall are waiting to see what happens with Harry because he is being transported from Godric's Hollow to number 4 Privet Drive by Hagrid, who is riding a fun little tidbit here, Sirius Black's motorcycle, which I think goes really unnoticed for many, 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 many years. Like I feel like this is something that just people overlook. It's a small detail that nobody really pays attention to. Sirius Black's bike, motorcycle. And they discuss what happens to Harry, or what happened to Harry in vague details, what happened to his family in vague details. And they also discuss how famous the world will be, how famous Harry will be in the wizard world. And they talk about the Dursleys and all that good time stuff happens, Mary. So that is the beginning of this chapter.
Yes. Oh my goodness.
Or that is this chapter.
And that's how we... And did you talk all about... Sorry, for those of you who are listening, I had to go check on my kid. I was trying to be slick. did you get to talk about how we got to be in the daily life of Vernon?
Yeah, you know, actually, this is something that I want to say. This first chapter, I think, is the reason why the Harry Potter universe became so popular. This first chapter, this introduction.
How come?
Because it sets everything up that you need to know instantly. And there's some answers, but there's also enough intrigue where you're like, what is happening? And the characters are already brought to life. The author really, really knew what she was doing when she came to writing this first chapter. I mean, let me read the first words. The first words of this chapter are my favorite. Mr. and Mrs. Dursley of number 4 Privet Drive were proud to say that they were perfectly normal. Thank you very much. That introduction right there is incredible because it already sets up a standard for Mr. and Mrs. Dursley. They think they're perfectly fine. They are perfectly just normal.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Just and a little bit of sass.
A little bit of an attitude with you.
You know, like you said, that first sentence kicks things off. Even delve even deeper inside those words.
Yeah, well, what's even more important here is that these words, you know what? It goes on even further. They were the last people you'd expect to be involved in anything strange or mysterious because they just didn't hold with much nonsense. Now, I'm reading from the British version, I'm not sure if there's a difference in the...
There are.
There are, okay. Well, no, in,
no,
in
but
the
like
first
that.
In
oh,
the
yeah,
first
you're fine
phrases.
For the first okay. few phrases, yeah.
So, here we go. This is really important because we're opening up with the Dursleys. Now, this book is entitled Harry Potter, and it's introducing you to these characters that are totally unrelated to Harry Potter. There's
mention. They're completely related.
No, but like, you know what I mean? Like,
but they're not magical.
They're introducing these characters as though they're going to be main characters, and they're introducing these people. Like, there's no mention of the word Harry Potter at all in this first paragraph. This first chapter, it finally gets to it about two and a half paragraphs in. And it's only about the Potters.
The whisper, yes.
It's the Potters. They didn't think they could bear it if anyone found out about the Potters, Mrs. Potter and Mrs. Dursley's. Was Mrs. Dursley's sister, but they hadn't met for several years. In fact, Mrs. Dursley pretended she didn't have a sister because her sister and her good-for-nothing husband were as un-Dursley-ish as it was possible to be. The Dursleys shuddered to think what neighbors would say if the Potters arrived in the street. Like, that opening statement is so rich with character and also plot. Okay, this is the Potters are related, I guess, to the Dursleys. Mrs. Dursley is the Potter's sister, but they are, I guess, completely abnormal from the Dursleys, or opposite of the Dursleys. What about the Potters is so magical? What about them is so bad? What about them is so un-Dursley-ish? What is in fact Dursley-ish? And what I'm trying to get at is this sets up a tone and sets up a expectation all immediately that something is going to go wrong for the Dursleys.
Something will not be normal.
Something is going to take this normal and put it on its head.
Yeah.
And that is spectacular.
You know, I love that you pointed out even just that first sentence, because of course they live at number 4. 4 is like the sides of a square. You can just think of square. Like, he's so square. You know, he's just like so like blah, whatever. Mm-hmm. Such a dweeb. And Privet Drive. So Privet is a type of like bush. Like just not a nice welcoming, just a little hedge. Mm-hmm. So very unwelcoming, just kind of like a blasé kind of number, not a super fun number. Like the number 5, my favorite number, for example, to even go from. But you know, we're with Mr. Dursley and he just kind of lives like this, you know, normal life. Poor thing doesn't even look out a window. He decides to keep his back to the window, but maybe that's because he's so focused. And you and I were talking about how interesting it was to read this chapter in particular, looking kind of through the eyes of the Dursleys.
Yes,
you know,
absolutely.
Because if you think about it, aside from the squabble, not squabble, but just like breaking up of Petunia and her sister Lily, really, Mr. and Mrs. Dursley and their son Dudley are trying to live what is a normal life. Mm-hmm. And I thought about how much of our youth and our teenage years, you're just trying to fit in. You're just trying to fit in with the norm. You know, there's a few of us who march to the beat of our own drums, who don't care about fitting in with the norm. But really, for a lot of people, even still in society, want to be fitting in and seen as normal. How many of us have issues when we're on Facebook and we see people doing things that we wish we were doing, or their bodies are the shape that we wish they were, and we're always trying to compete with others and keep up with the Joneses. And that's what the Dursleys do until they've met Harry.
Oh, especially Mrs. Dursley.
Right?
Where she says, Mrs. Dursley was thin and blonde and had nearly twice the usual amount of neck, which came in very useful as she spent so much of her time craning over garden fences, spying on the neighbors. Mm. Oh, my. Like, again, that writing is so tactile. You can see this lady craning her neck over a fence, looking at these people, comparing herself to everybody else. Mm-hmm. Spectacular writing.
And they've got this child that they've invested, you know, all of this love and care. We see later on, it's really in the form of gifts and spoiling, I want to say. And he spends all this attention on him, but really they're doing what they think is right. Mm-hmm. You know, they're not doing anything necessarily malicious that we can tell as of yet. They're just seem to me the most ordinary muggles. And then of course we get the foil, the complete opposite, by being introduced to Albus Dumbledore.
Right. And not only that, that introduction is set up in a very specific and awesome way. The amount of tension that is executed in this chapter, and it begins almost immediately when Mr. Dursley is in his neighborhood and he's looking at certain things and he's realizing that some things are off, like when the owl flutters past his window, or when he sees a cat just sitting there staring at a map. And these are all things that he's seeing,
yeah,
but doesn't quite want to acknowledge that there's something odd happening.
Well, and how many times does that happen to you? Maybe you get a little deja vu. Maybe you see that black cat. Maybe you see the black cat twice and it's like a deja vu black cat and you're like, oh, heck no, this is not going to be a good day.
Right.
But, you know, all of us have those moments where maybe you jinx. You say the same thing as somebody, or you call somebody when you're just thinking, or they call you when you're thinking about them. Like, all of these little things happen. So they don't necessarily irk Vernon Dursley. As it says in the book, he mm-hmm. pretty much forgets about seeing the cat. It isn't until he really hears the name, the Potters.
Right, and he says, oh, what is it? Fear flooded him when he heard somebody mentioned their son, Harry. And he starts making excuses like, oh, well, you know, Potter wasn't such an unusual name. And he was sure there were lots of people called Potter who had a son called Harry. Come to think of it, he wasn't even sure if his nephew was called Harry. He'd never even seen the boy. It might have been Harvey or Harold. There was no point in worrying Mrs. Dursley. She always got so upset at the mention of her sister. And he didn't blame her if he'd had a sister like that. But all the same, those people in the cloaks. And it goes even further until it gets to the point where he gets so distraught and when he hears someone mentioning it and he hears the word muggle.
Ugh.
And he hears about the name You Know Who. And this right here is another example of how there are
even
answers.
A muggle like yourself. He was referred to as a muggle and not like the nicest way.
There is enough answers here where you're like, okay, something is going on crazy here, right? Like we as readers know that something is afoot.
You know what I've always wondered? How much about the wizard world does Vernon Dursley know? So we, of course, as I said, know that Petunia is not happy about the wizard world because she wasn't invited to it. Her sister Lily was invited. Her sister Lily had magical powers. And Petunia, we find out later, even writes to Dumbledore begging to be allowed into Hogwarts.
Right, right.
Begging. And Dumbledore writes her back and is like, oh, honey, I'm so sorry. You just ain't got it. You just are not magical. And that is what stewed in her. So if you think about this family, about these people who are always trying to keep up with the Joneses, Petunia was denied access.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So how much has she told Vernon about Hogwarts, about wizards in general? You know, I just...
Part of me thinks that she told him a little bit because he has to understand the kind of vitriol that she has for her sister. He may not understand completely why, but he must know some detail.
Imagine
about
that date, or is it like after you're married where you're like, so, gotta tell you something. You know, my sister, we don't really get along. And it's not just like she's in a cult.
She's a witch. He's like, yeah, I know. Yeah, she's a witch. I know. I get it.
And you're like, no.
No. No.
No. I don't think you do.
No. You ever seen Bewitched? You ever seen that show?
It's kind of like that.
She really is a witch. Like, imagine that conversation.
You know, it's... I think this chapter is one of the reasons and why I connected so quickly with Harry Potter. Mm-hmm. I marched to the beat of my own drum as a teenager. Mm-hmm. Like, I vividly remember being like, meh, I'm not going to do that just because the cool kids are. Like, I don't like it. So why would I do that? There were these things that I'm now proud of myself. At 38 years old, I'm like, way to go, 16-year-old Mary, for not doing X, Y, Z. But it's hard. And what I love about Harry is that he doesn't know it yet. But as we see him later on, he is himself. Like, he doesn't try to just fit in with the Dursleys, who have tried so hard. Right, you know, we've all known these people who put so much pressure on themselves and call people names and ostracize them just because they're different.
Right, absolutely.
And that's what we start to feel. We're kind of cool and okay with the Dursleys. You know, they're judgmental, and suddenly we're like, ooh, we're judging them for being judgmental. Okay, I'll take a step back. But as we read more about how they don't like things that are different,
right,
you get a little bristled feeling.
It's very British. Like, that's what I feel like. It's just, it's very British of them. You know what I mean?
No.
Like, everything is just very proper, and it has to be a very certain way. And if it...
I know a lot of British people that aren't proper.
Oh, okay. Fair enough. Fair enough. I appreciate what you're saying. I appreciate it.
It's very like... it's very like the Earls.
It's like the Earls.
Very much like the Earls.
Yes. Yes.
That's my maiden name.
Yes. And her that side of the family is...
Yes.
Very Dursley-ish.
Very, very Dursley-ish. And there I was, not fitting in.
You were Harry. That's what it was.
What are you going to do when you grew up? Play my saxophone.
there's a great passage here, too. Mr. Dursley sat frozen in his armchair. Shooting stars all over Britain, owls flying by daylight, mysterious people in cloaks all over the place, and a whisper about the Potters. Mrs. Dursley came into the living room carrying two cups of tea. It was no good. He'd have to say something to her. He cleared his throat very nervously. Petunia, dear, haven't you heard from your sister lately? Haven't you? And no. Why? Funny stuff on the news. You know, owls and shooting stars. And there were a lot of funny-looking people in the town today. So, snapped Mrs. Dursley. Well, I thought just maybe it was something to do with, you know, her lot. Like, this conversation also gives you insight into their relationship. Mm. She's so quick to snap at him about...
That's her trigger.
And he's almost nervous. He is frightened. He is very unsure about even saying anything to her, but he can't help himself. He doesn't... That conversation has to happen.
Well, and also, he'd probably want to be the one to let her know. You know what I mean? If this is really what's going on, I might want to warn my wife. So, as I said, we move on and we meet Dumbledore, and we
yes.
find out that cat who was sitting on the ledge was actually Professor McGonagall all the time. What's funny is that he comes up and she changes into herself, and she's like, "How'd you know it was me?" And he says, "I've never seen a cat sit more sternly."
Yeah.
So get this, Professor McGonagall, while everybody was partying, jumping around, wearing their robes in public, doing things that are not allowed under the Statute of Secrecy. However, mm-hmm. fun fact, Pottermore said, the female Prime Minister, or Minister of Magic at this time, said, you know what, Voldemort's dead, do whatever you want to do. If the Muggles find out about us, whatever. Like, go have fun and celebrate. So it was okay. Deedless Diggory, we end up meeting later on. McGonagall even mentions, like, it was probably him shooting off fireworks. I heard all these things in the news. So this entire day, everyone was celebrating. And Dumbledore even calls her out. He says, everyone's been partying. You've been chilling here at Fort Privet Drive? Why? And she says, I wanted to see where you are bringing this baby to.
Right. And then these truly awful people, like, oh, it's Deedless Diggle, by the way.
Deedless Diggle.
Not Diggory.
Oh, my God. Oh, Cedric, never mind. R.I.P. R.I.P.
Is that your boyfriend? Oh, no. Don't kill Cedric.
Oh, my goodness. So what I also loved about this is she's fighting, not fighting, but she's questioning Dumbledore. Like, why is the baby coming here? Like, what? And first off, she wants to make sure what happened. She mm-hmm. doesn't even fully understand. I heard that Lillian, you know what I mean? I heard the Potters died, except not Harry. And so Dumbledore kind of confirms all this for her. And he still is a little uncertain about what exactly happened. Mm-hmm. But yes, we're bringing the baby here. And Professor McGonagall says, why? Why would you keep him with these Muggles?
Because you need to get him away from all of the stuff. And I love Dumbledore in this chapter. I love Dumbledore in this chapter because he is giving out information only as he sees fit, even to someone he trusts, like McGonagall. You know, you already get the sense that they have somewhat of a friendly relationship between the two.
Yes.
And you get a sense that they're relatively
close.
He
doesn't call her Minerva. He calls her Professor McGonagall.
Right, but the way that they interact, and the way she even says to him, you know, she's talking about you-know-who, and he's saying, call him by Voldemort, please, will you? And then she says, but yeah, you can do that, but we're not you. You're the most powerful. Like, she's telling him, you're the most powerful wizard there is. And yet, Dumbledore is doing this really great thing where he knows a lot more than he's what he's laying on. And he's almost, in this chapter, playing the fool.
He completely is. So here's Voldemort. I mean, here's Dumbledore, who we learn through the lens of Minerva McGonagall is like the best wizard right now. The best wizard. What Dumbledore knows that he doesn't share with a single soul is he needs baby Harry to live with the Dursleys, not because he doesn't want him growing up famous, but because he needs to be with his aunt, because he needs his mother's blood to protect him.
Right.
Like, who knows what J.K. Rowling actually, the author, excuse me, broke my commandment. Who knows what she was thinking for certain as she wrote this bit?
Yeah, here's a question. Do you think she had the whole thing mapped out?
I don't even know.
Or did you think she had like a basic premise? And
I think she had a basic premise.
Like she had an idea that Harry became part of Voldemort, you know, got himself onto Harry and that Harry had to die in order for all that. Okay.
Right. I believe all that. I'm wondering about this situation, but this is how it's tied in. Because honestly, the Dursleys stink. The Dursleys stink, and I'm going to start to do a little Dumbledore bash. And for those of you who Dumbledore is your favorite character, I'm really sorry. I adore that man in many ways, and there's also major flaws with him. One of the things that I hate that Minerva was so right is a letter. You're going to put a letter to explain all of this. And he blindly trusts the Dursleys to read this letter. By the way, Harry, your parents are blown up by Voldemort. Totally cool. We'll see you when you're 11. Peace. Don't get rid of that scar because it might be useful. Hint, hint, nudge, nudge. They don't read him the letter. Newsflash, Dumbledore. Nor does he come and check up on them. Like, what kind of foster care system is this? There's like, he never checks up on Harry. And I love how he puts this letter in there, thinking that Harry will have it all explained to him by a loving, nurturing family. And really, it's poor Hagrid who has to break the news to
him eventually,
later.
Eventually.
But yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, he just leaves a letter and never checks back up on him. What is the world? Like, he needs like a little baby video camera system.
Right.
You know, the kind that a lot of the parents have now where it's attached to your mobile device.
Yes.
He needed a baby cam, like a nanny cam, a Dursley cam.
Oh, man. And the other thing I like about this, too, is that, again, this chapter, it puts you right in the middle of wizarding history, right? With no real, like, back history. There's no, you're just expected to go along. All of a sudden, you're being introduced to Voldemort. But nobody's saying his name. They're calling him you-know-who. Why are they calling him you-know? Why is everybody just so afraid of calling Voldemort by this person's name? Not only that, they're introducing the big bad of the entire series within the first chapter. Here's Voldemort. You should be really scared of him. People are so scared, we can't even say his own name.
Yep.
Right? And
that's going to come and get you.
It also shows that Dumbledore is not afraid of him. Why is he not afraid of him? Why is everybody else afraid of him? He even says Voldemort has powers that I would never have. He is capable of more things than I'm ever capable of.
Jennifer L. Dominic on Facebook is reminding us all that Dumbledore did leave the squib behind.
Ah, yes. Well, that's not.
We'll meet her next chapter.
That's not quite a nanny cam, but it's probably the closest.
But he only sees her like once a year, right?
I'm not sure about that.
I'm pretty sure when she goes through her like yearbook of all her cats and everything. Well, we'll meet her in chapter two.
And then we're introduced after the conversation between McGonagall and Dumbledore. about why is Harry here? You're going to leave him here with these people. And yes, I'm going to leave him here because he's safer here. He shouldn't be involved in all the stuff. We're introduced to Hagrid. And I really like this thing with Professor McGonagall. She said, she questions Hagrid's job bringing Harry there. She says, you think it wise to trust Hagrid with something as important as this? And then Dumbledore says something intriguing yet again. I would trust Hagrid with my life.
So would I.
The amount of world building that is happening within this chapter is incredible.
Right?
I'm pretty sure
Hagrid might be my top character.
That is why this...
Hagrid's my boy.
I think this chapter is the linchpin for Harry Potter. Mm. Without this chapter, this book starts off just like any other book. I mean, think of what the beginning of chapter 2, which is the Vanishing Glass. Mm-hmm. You know, it takes place when Harry's awake, and you get the sense that the Dursleys hate him, but
this paints a marvelous picture.
But this is what sets the story apart from everything else. The amount of world building that is being told to you, and not like, okay, here's a history class. It's two people having a conversation that would happen between two people who knew each other normally.
Yep.
This is all expository, but it's natural, and it's so well written that
you don't feel perfect. Like you're being shoved important points down your throat. I completely agree.
Yep, absolutely.
So there you have it. There's chapter one, The Boy Who Lived. And we can't wait to...
One more thing I'd like to say about this.
Yep.
Is I love the interaction between three characters, between Hagrid, McGonagall, and Dumbledore when they're finally all together. Hagrid is very emotional.
Could I
say a goodbye to him, sir? He bent his great shaggy head over Harry and gave him what must have been a very scratchy, whiskery kiss. Then suddenly Hagrid let out a howl like a wounded dog. Shh, hissed Professor McGonagall. You'll wake the muggles. Sorry, sobbed Hagrid, taking out a large
swat. Bless his heart.
And she's saying, get a grip on yourself, Hagrid. We'll be found. And then Dumbledore stepped over the low garden wall and walked to open the front door. And he says, okay, that's it. We have no business staying here. You might as well go and join the celebration.
You have no business staying here. Let's go party. Let's drop this baby off with a letter.
Right.
And party.
But what I love is that Dumbledore is taking these two characters who are diametrically opposed from each other.
Foes. No, they're not foes.
Good point.
That's a little Hamilton for you.
They're diametrically opposed. Professor McGonagall is very logical. She is very,
stern,
to the point.
Yeah.
They're all business.
However, both McGonagall and Hagrid are House Gryffindor.
Yes. Yeah. Well, you would think that she'd be Ravenclaw, but she is Gryffindor. Although I was reading somewhere.
Do you remember her at the Battle of Hogwarts? I sure do.
I was reading one of her character bios. I think it was one in our kid's book.
She got to choose.
The Sorting Hat took forever. For her, it made her wait 2 hours decide whether or not she was Ravenclaw or Gryffindor, mm-hmm. whatever it was.
Yeah.
But and Hagrid is the emotional part. He is the emotional crux of it all. He is showing you, the reader, the what the other wizards are going through. Yes, they're celebrating the fact that Voldemort's gone, but the other half of it is that these people are dead. And Dumbledore is the one that makes the two jive together. Mm-hmm. He sees the intellectual part of it, but he also sees the emotional part of it. And he knows, again, he knows far more than what he's letting on to these two, but he also knows that they're both right. And he has to form a synthesis in order for them to go forward.
Fun fact, Hagrid had Sirius Black's motorbike. Would Sirius Black still have been captured and thrown in Azkaban if he still had his bike? Because he probably got captured that night.
Yep. Oh, by the way, people are asking for Here Comes the General for our Hamilton reference.
Oh, diametrically opposed
foes. Here it is. Here comes the General Washington. You're welcome. So you know what it is? It's I don't have it on my normal feed here. I have it on my Outlander feed, so I gotta switch it.
Gotta switch some things up. So on that note, my friends, we've kept you a little longer than we were expecting, but this is our first go around for a chapter.
Well, this chapter is just so rich.
It is.
And there's no way you can just talk about this chapter in under a half hour. You just can't do it. There's so much more here than what we went into.
I know.
But it is a hot take for the ages is that this chapter is what makes the Harry Potter series as important as it is. It's this chapter.
Agreed.
So there you go.
Awesome. So on to chapter two. Thank you so much for checking this out.
Are you
ready?
Time
to close the show.
Let's close the show out.
Thank you, everyone, once again for tuning in to this episode of the Potterverse, where we're, of course, exploring all of the books and film and delving into all sorts of things in the Wizarding World. So thank you for checking it out. As of right now, the day that we're recording this episode, the podcast is still not fully up in your podcatchers of choice, but it should be someday soon. I think things are just a little delayed getting through there because of the coronavirus.
Yep.
But you can, of course, stay tuned and hear them live on our Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Instagram feeds, or you can catch them, of course, on the replay just by searching Mary and Blake.
Go to maryandblake.com, check out all of the podcasts and blogs that are there and everything that's happening with us. And just thank you guys. Thank you for joining us in chapter one.
That's right.
I'm all about it. I'm all about the Harry Potter life
too.
Right now.
So for now, my name's Mary.
My name's Blake.
Mischief Managed.